Beyond Brunel, talking about the future of infrastructure in the Southwest from the Southwest Infrastructure Partnership, supported by ICE Southwest.
Welcome and thanks again for joining us on Beyond Brunel. In this episode, we'll be talking all about people and infrastructure. We'll be discussing how we empower citizens of tomorrow to shape the Southwest today, and how we encourage more young people to choose a career in construction. Before I introduce our guests, let's hear from some young people on what infrastructure means to them.
I'm Toby Butler. I'm an apprentice, a degree apprentice with Jacobs, currently working in their extra office. I'm studying in my final year at UWE in Bristol, studying civil engineering, and I work in the water and environment sector of the company.
Toby, do you think younger people have a strong enough voice in the infrastructure sector?
They can do, but I think a lot of younger people don't really know what infrastructure is. I think my friends probably still don't fully understand what I do as a job. And I think you just don't realise the importance of infrastructure in terms of how it affects your life and how much you need to have a say in it.
How do you think we can change people's perceptions? Is it about education? Is it going into schools? Or is it something much broader, an entirely new idea?
We need to teach people about it younger. I left school and when I got my apprenticeship, I didn't know what civil engineering was. I didn't really know what infrastructure was, apart from like the definition you might be able to Google. It's all about educating people so that the people coming in had more time to develop opinions, and also just to get more people with varying opinions in as well.
That point on opinions is really important. Giving people a voice, that's really challenging for us as professionals. Often we're constrained by budgets and we're siloed in our approach to projects. So how do we go about doing that better?
More outreach from people. I don't think I ever had a visit from a civil engineer while I was at school to explain what they do or what the job is. And I think then greater sharing between companies. I think it's easy to not share, you know, even on just like a project working with a contractor and the designer, you might scoff at each other when things get, you know, relationships get frayed and that kind of thing. And you don't get that sharing of best practice and lessons learned. And, you know, we maybe need a way to formalise that a bit better and to get that information in like one central location.
I'm Maisie Palmer and I work for Mann Williams Civil and Structural Engineers in Bath. I also attend UE and also in my final year doing the Civil and Environmental Engineering course. So I'm currently a structural engineer / technician whilst I graduate, or almost graduate.
Maisie, how can we give young people a bigger voice in shaping the region's infrastructure?
Children in schools could have better teaching upon the subject, because no one knows about anything about engineering as you're going through school, let alone as you finish, to then decide what you'd like to do come career, come study. But I feel, if anything, social media is a big thing now. So if younger people are going to get their points across, it's going to be through social media. But obviously they would need to be taught about the industry beforehand so that they could understand and then teach others coming up or youngers.
I guess so. A point from that is perhaps we need to challenge ourselves and the approach that we're taking to engaging younger people with infrastructure and the way that we're trying to educate them about what infrastructure is using social media. And I wonder, whose responsibility is it? Do you think it's purely down to engineers or environmentalists or others in practice? Or is it down to the government? Who needs to be doing this?
I'm basing it off my own experience through school. I remember there was no sort of guidance from any of my teachers about engineering, because I went to a girls' school as well, so that was just a no subject. It was all, you'd be a doctor or anything like that. So I feel it's important for engineers, especially women as an engineer as well, to put that upon themselves, to go into schools and go, you know, this is engineering, this is a variety of different paths you can go down within the industry. So I think, unfortunately, yes, it's down for those within the industry to branch out into schools if they want to have young people come into the industry.
I'm Azara Karki. I'm from Nepal. I'm an international student here. I have briefly worked in the industry as a structural engineer, and now I'm just doing my final year MEng, Civil and Environmental Engineering at UE.
Do you think things would be different if young people have a bigger say?
Absolutely, there's no doubt in that. But I think, like, from a personal level, I feel like it has to start from the ground. What I mean by that is, like, it has to start from every day of, like, the way young people are thinking. I feel like as long as it doesn't touch you or reach to you in a personal level, it's very difficult to act or do things in a professional setting. So I feel like it has to start from there.
And do you think, Ajara, people take infrastructure for granted then? They just don't understand that we're interacting with it all of the time and it affects all of us.
Absolutely. Like, and also especially for the young people. Like, for example, like I said, it has to start and it has to touch people in a very personal level, because I don't feel like sometimes they just don't realize, the young people, about the infrastructure. I mean, compared to some device like smartphone, they're very, like, you know, emotionally attached to a phone. And if something happens to the phone, they could just go crazy and can go, like, you know, extra step to fix it. But they don't really care about infrastructure. And I feel like as long as we're not able to at least teach them or, like, feel emotionally about infrastructure, it doesn't come naturally to do something about it.
I'm Chris Middleton. I'm a third year student at UE in Bristol, and I have a years of experience as a hydrologist working for SLR Consulting.
Chris, why did you choose a career in infrastructure?
I realised quite early on that I was a pretty ardent environmentalist, and I asked myself exactly what am I doing to actually address that. And I knew that infrastructure was a high carbon industry, and there are potentially many ways of helping us reduce our overall emissions. So I decided to go into civil engineering as a sort of broad approach to that.
And why hydrology then? I know you said you've got some experience. How can you make a difference?
Well, I mean, at first I didn't really realise the connection between hydrology and civil engineering until I learnt about sustainable drainage systems and natural capital and these kinds of new ideas.
Chris, you mentioned there about hydrology. So how can you make a difference by working in that area of practice?
I didn't realise that hydrology and civil engineering were so intricately linked, but the difference that it can make is that natural capital, it's a new field, so there's lots of room for innovation, and there's lots of opportunities to have compounding benefits from it, such as biodiversity, carbon sequestration, and water quality and flooding. These are all multifaceted issues that we're dealing with all the time, so that's part of the reason why I specialised into the subject.
Chris, given that you're motivated by the environment and trying to seek change, do you think other young people are also?
I definitely think so. The only problem is much like the problem I had, is that they don't really know the avenues and how to do that. There are a lot of people, especially young people, don't feel like they have very much purpose, or they don't really know where to start with such big issues. And it can cause apathy and cause a lot of anxiety for people. But I think exploring what civil engineering has to offer and infrastructure in general has to offer, there are so many different things, it's impossible not to find something that you are at least interested in, and you can still make a difference that way, which I think is really inspiring.
I'm Arch Terry. I'm a third year degree apprentice studying civil engineering. I work with Kier Construction, and I currently work on the Environment Agency framework just outside Bridgewater and the subset levels.
Archie, what do you think the barriers are to getting more young people to consider a job in infrastructure?
I think there's a huge amount of barriers to getting more young people into infrastructure. I think that there's not one right answer to get young people into infrastructure, especially over the southwest. We can't have a one-size-fits-all approach. We've got such a diverse range of people in our area. I think the main thing we need to focus on is interaction with those young people. At the end of the day, we're talking about infrastructure, and we're building that infrastructure for them and their lives. And we need to try and start talking to them. But in terms of getting them into the industry, visiting schools and having young people talk to them, I think makes a huge difference, because there's not a lot of people that actually understand what we do as an industry. There's a huge amount of people that don't understand what civil engineering is. I'm training to be a civil engineer and I still don't fully understand what everything it is. There's so many different aspects, and trying to break that down and communicate that to people and communicate the different pathways into the industry as well. A lot of people think you have to go to university and get a degree, but there's some really good apprenticeship programs now that you can get in industry with. And I think communication is the key. Just opening up and letting people know what we do and communicating to them the different ways into the industry.
And do you have a role model that you follow, Archie? Has inspired you to get into infrastructure?
It's probably a bit cheesy, but my old man is an engineer, so he's always been my role model. And when I was younger, we went on site visits or whatever. We're scarily similar people. And I think I've always had the same sort of questioning brain that he's had. Always ask why, thinking about other ways of approaching stuff. And it just seemed to be a good fit of an industry. And I could see how welcoming and interesting the industry was.
So let's explore with our two guests today.
Joining me in the studio is Katie Farrell, Assistant Planner at Keir BAM Joint Venture. Katie's based in Plymouth at Devonport Dockyard. And joining us online is Lou Dawson-Thomas, Head of Apprenticeship Services at XL Construction in Gloucestershire. Welcome to you both.
Hello.
Hello.
And thanks very much for joining us. Let's get started. Katie, I'm going to turn to you first, if I may. And I'm really interested in how you began a career in construction and in infrastructure.
It was a little bit of an accident, to be honest. When I was at school, I thought maybe architecture was something for me. And I was sort of told, do engineering, it's the same thing, you can't draw anyway. So I was a little bit wrong, wasn't I? But I've sort of fallen into it. When I was at university, I was sure I wanted to go into design and then got a placement with a contractor, and I've been on site ever since. So I've really loved it, being on site working in infrastructure.
Oh, wow, fantastic. Yeah. So different from architecture, but really enjoying perhaps the more practical elements?
Yes, 100%, yes.
Fantastic. And Lou, obviously you're helping young people enter careers in infrastructure and construction. And so tell us a bit about your role.
My role as Head of Apprenticeship Services at XL, we are the first industry-led construction school of its kind in the UK. Basically, I oversee everything from recruitment into our apprenticeship programmes, right through to progress reviews, making sure they're on target with their knowledge, skills and behaviours as set out with the apprenticeship standards, providing any kind of pastoral support, guidance on career progression and support through that endpoint assessment process as well. Kind of the link between XL, the student, and also the employer. Obviously, as an apprentice, you have to have an employer to have that on the job learning. That's pretty much a whistle-stop tour of my role.
Fantastic. So apprenticeships, hot topic at the minute, as are degree apprenticeships. Katie, you obviously didn't take that route. And so was that option available to you? How did you find kind of exploring options when you
It wasn't at all. The school I went to very much pushed you towards university, so apprenticeships weren't even thought about. And I was talking to someone about this the other day, actually. If I had my time over again, the apprenticeship or the degree apprenticeship would be 100% the route I'd take, because you come out of that qualification and you're already part of the furniture. You've got years of experience behind you. And in my opinion, you're far more employable. You can turn up to a job and you can be trusted to get on with work that someone who's taken a sort of traditional university route hasn't spent a day in the office or on site in their life. So yeah, I think it's definitely something that's got a massive sort of boost in popularity recently and has a lot of benefits to it.
Interestingly, UCAS have done a huge piece around apprenticeships now, and they advocate all levels of apprenticeships on their website and all throughout their organisation. So I think the landscape is changing in terms of what young people are now seeing as their options, not the traditional route, as you're saying, Katie, in terms of it's got to be university and that's the only option available to you. With an apprenticeship, of course, you're earning whilst you're learning, so you haven't got all that debt at the end of it as well. So you haven't got to pay to learn. So it's a winner-winner.
And I'm interested, Lee, what types of barriers do you think young people face when they're looking at the different options, they're looking at careers in construction? I mean, obviously, a lot of people might not know about it as an industry. And so, yeah, what are the challenges they face?
Absolutely. I think it's lack of information and understanding about the sector and what careers there are out there. Obviously, there's not just the trades in terms of career options, but there's all the behind the scenes stuff. Obviously, Katie knows all about that, all of the project support. There's just such a myriad of different opportunities, and it's trying to educate our young people about that and getting that school engagement and message across, really.
I think it's also promoting the message that apprenticeships give you worthwhile qualifications at the end of it, that you're not at any disadvantage from doing that route. I know probably a misconception when I was at that stage in my career was that you might be making the tea for quite a long time, that at the end of it, you would be further behind than someone who had gone through university. But it's not the case at all. You come out with exactly the same qualifications at the end of it. So you can come out with a degree exactly the same as someone else coming straight from university. But you've learned on the job and you've tailored it to the industry. And that's a separate sort of challenge that universities have, is getting those industry links and making sure that their graduates are what the industry wants when they leave.
And presumably, Katie, for you, going into construction or at least doing your degree was a bit of a leap of faith because wouldn't necessarily know what construction involved at school. And so how have you found that?
I haven't really thought about it. I've muddled along and I've come out the end of it knowing a lot more than I did. Yeah, as you say, schools don't know a huge amount. Not only schools, parents, a lot of people, they see construction sites or design offices, walk past them, they don't think anymore. It might come up on the news, the big projects, but you don't think any further about what is involved in those projects. And I think that's a massive piece that we can educate people to say, actually, as you said, there's more roles out there. It's not just the trades or an engineer on site. There's all the support roles. We've got environmental, health and safety, all that sort of thing, which is all extremely worthwhile as well and can lead to really sort of successful careers as well. So it's about getting that message out there that there's a huge potential in construction.
Beyond Brunel, talking about the future of infrastructure in the Southwest from the Southwest Infrastructure Partnership, supported by ICE Southwest. Search for us on LinkedIn, follow us on Twitter at SWIP Partnership and at ICE Southwest.
That's really interesting, that point you made there about awareness. And I wonder, Lou, do you think people going for XL, are they really aware of the wide range of roles that they can go into in infrastructure? Katie mentioned kind of, you know, environmental professionals and perhaps planners. Do you think they're aware of those different role types?
Not particularly, not until they come through the door. We do quite a bit of work with local schools, taster days and what the construction industry is all about and the various types of careers that you can have. And they've all gone away that, wow, we didn't realise, especially the more supporting roles. I think traditionally, when you think of construction, it's ground workers, digger drivers, and all the what we call the finishing trades, which is the carpenters, the plumbers, the electricians, all of that. And so when they come into the industry, they're kind of blown away. But actually, there's a lot more to it than you realise.
And in the Southwest, we're obviously quite a rural community. So yeah. I'm wondering, you know, how do we encourage people through the door? How do we get them interested in engineering at an early stage? Katie, perhaps we go to you first.
That's a really difficult one because in the past 30 years, we haven't had a huge amount of heavy infrastructure projects down here. And in the last 10 years, we've been very, very fortunate to have Hinkley going on. We've got Devonport kicking off now. So there's a massive demand for construction people coming through and we're not getting them through the door at a rate that we need to fulfill the spaces that we have. So again, it's an education piece to say there's plenty of opportunities out there. And also, as Lou was saying, there's all the different roles, but we also need to educate that whatever you choose at the beginning isn't what you might end up as. So I've gone through engineering, designing, planning. I've done a little bit. I've had a very varied career. We've also got people that have come up through the trades, the sort of on-site skills that have then come into management because there's transferable skills in whatever you do. And construction, there's a lot of skills that we use. We're very practical. We're problem solvers. Just because you may start on-site or doing a specific role, that doesn't limit what you choose to do. And so I think we need to tell people that it's a massive choice when you go to do an apprenticeship or a degree or even your A-levels. You're making a commitment to the next however many years of your life. And I think there is a sort of understanding that you're limiting yourself by what you choose, but I don't think that's the case at all. If you apply yourself, you've got good experience behind you and you've got all the skills that surround that, your personality, your behaviours in the office or on site or wherever you are, I think that accompanies your practical and your theoretical skills that you can transfer to quite a lot of other roles as well.
Fantastic. And Lou, how do we broaden our approach to outreach? How do we get these young people involved? How do we appeal to them and say, look, there's these apprenticeships out there, there's these opportunities in industry. What do we need to do?
Youth engagement is extremely important, and that is reaching out to not just the schools and colleges, but all the other youth organisations, the alternative provisions. We've actually just started outreach into, for example, our local sports teams, rugby, football, that kind of thing, just to make people more aware of the options locally. I think if you make it specific to someone's area, for example, we've got a huge project coming up in the pipeline, the Golden Valley project in Cheltenham, and that's 10 to 15 years worth of work in all kinds of different aspects. That's garden community, that is business space, dwellings, cyberspace. So it's to make it more appealing. And in terms of job security is massive. You know, these projects don't just last a couple of weeks. They're years in the making and earning potential as well. At the moment, construction workers, they're on par with professionals that have gone to university for many years to get their degrees and qualifications. It is trying to make it more attractive then, is what I'm trying to say, to our young talent that's going to be coming through.
I'm interested, Katie, did all of your friends take the same route? Did they do something different?
No, I was the only one to do engineering. I've been the only one to do more of a sort of vocational career. So I completely went off track and did that. That wasn't really the sort of route in the school that I went to. It's interesting, since leaving university, the route then continues which way you go. There are people at university that really like their studies. When you were with them, you thought they'd continue that. And then they go and find a niche that they like within construction, and that takes them away then. So it's interesting how your sort of career develops as you go, and your interests change, and it's all about your sort of personal situation as well, what you're doing. So yes, it's interesting how people's careers flow through.
Absolutely. I think once the foot's in the door and they can see all the different opportunities, oh yeah, I like a bit of that, I'm going to try that. And very often they go off in different directions, and we see them coming back through the college already to do, for example, plant training or their skill set training into the supervisory and management side of things. So yeah, it's a stepping stone that leads, as Katie quite rightly says, to a really fulfilling career.
And Lou, we're talking about homegrown talent. Are you seeing more apprentices come through that are engaged in infrastructure and engaged in construction because they're more aware of the environment?
I would say so, yes. And like I said, the opportunities they can see locally now, and they want to be involved with that. And we always say to them that construction is always about leaving a legacy. So you can be driving past something, oh, I had a hand in that, I had a hand in designing that or building that, actually get my hands dirty. So yeah, definitely seeing more of that coming through.
And Katie, I'm going to pose the same question. So clearly you haven't just started out, you've been in the system for a while, you know your stuff. And so you're seeing the next generation come up through the ranks. Are they more engaged in the environment? Do you think that's a reason why they're joining?
There's been a big change in the last 10 or 15 years in a lot of the way that we grow up. Schools are very different. The qualification routes, like we said, the apprenticeships have taken off. So people are coming from a huge variety of backgrounds, which is good for the industry. And there's a lot of changes that are happening to the industry because of that. And some of them are challenges. Some of them we need to embrace. Some of them we need to work out how we're going to work with. Because even how young people communicate with each other is completely different to how they would have 10 years ago. And so I think that all links into the piece on how we engage these people, is how we sort of go and find them. Because traditional routes of turning up to a careers fair may not be the best way to engage with these people. Social media is something we need to harness. As you said, sports clubs. It only takes one person to inspire someone to go all the way through. Mm-hmm. But we need to start being a little bit creative on how we find those people then.
And that's a really interesting point, isn't it? Role models and seeing people doing something which you think you could do as well. And I wonder, Lou, you know, in terms of the sorts of students that you're seeing come through Accel, have they been inspired by others in industry? You know, are they telling you of stories where they've seen somebody on a construction site or they've seen somebody in an office?
Yeah, some of them are obviously come from a family of maybe people in the industry already. For example, you've got James Haskell, massive JCB advocate. We've done a piece with him as well. So that's really helped raise the profile of the industry as well. For me, I'm not a big fan of the whole school career fair thing. And that's not because I don't think it's worthwhile. It's just from our point of view, construction, what can you actually take to a stand? I can stand there and talk all day long. You probably guessed that already. But what we want to make more of an impact is get through the door. Come and have a look, come and have live demos, come and get your hands dirty yourself, come and have a go, come and find out a little bit more about the industry, talk to our employers, talk to our industry partners. I think there's a lot more legs in getting people to your place of work or to your setting rather than the other way around.
I think in addition to that, digital has a massive role to play in this. That,
huge.
As we touched on with social media, there's also things that the construction industry is very much trying to go digital. That is the aim. It links into our sustainability and all sorts, our quality, all of our statistics that we do. Digital is going to help drive that. But one thing that we find with engaging with people is virtual reality is a massive way to win people over. Because as you said, when you're growing up, you've never seen past the barriers of a site. If a hoarding's up, you just see it as roadworks and annoyance. You don't see what's going on past it. And that's what your parents will have felt, the community will have felt. So if you can give someone a taste of what's happening on the other side of that barrier, you can put on the headset, you can have a walk around, you can see the project in various stages of construction, then you've got much more of a tool to tell a young person, this is something you can get involved with. And that can only improve as we get more digital tools developed and given to the wider community. That can only help encourage people into the industry.
Lou, if you had one ask of leaders in the Southwest to help our young people into a career in infrastructure, what would it be?
It definitely has to be a collaborative approach between education and industry. We need to get into our schools quite early on to sow the seed, as they say, and to just put across that the sector that we work in is a viable career option, and so is an apprenticeship. They would come out better informed, obviously, better equipped, and they'll hit the ground running. It's just, unfortunately, what I've seen. Part of my role is also an enterprise advisor for the careers, an enterprise company. Schools aren't really given much time to invest in their careers service that they give to their students. What I've also found is the industry that we're in takes a little bit of a backseat. It's like Katie said, we need to change the perception of what construction is all about. It's not just about digging holes and making a mess and causing traffic lights and stuff. Like we've talked about before, there's lots of different aspects of construction, infrastructure, civil engineering, etc., and loads of different projects. And we just need to get the message out there and just educate more about what infrastructure is, how you can get involved, and what careers there are available to you. But it's got to start from the ground.
Katie, does the region have the talent we require to meet the challenges of tomorrow?
In one word, no, they don't. The country doesn't have enough talent to give the workforce to the jobs that we've got going at the moment. It's a challenge that everyone in the industry is facing. We've got an aging workforce, so there's a lot of people leaving, retiring out of the industry. We need to bring young people through now. And I think young people in schools, this could be part of the sales pitch to promote the careers in the industry, is that the people that are currently choosing construction and engineering as their vocation, as their career, these people will be the leaders of the future. So there's a massively rewarding career ahead of them. They just don't know it yet. So I think we need to put a push on that. And I think industry needs to be focusing on developing that talent, to be giving them the skills that they need now, so that in 10 or 15 years' time, the projects that we're currently working on or thinking about will be coming to fruition. But then we need to be thinking about the next step where these people will be leading the industry.
And on behalf of industry, challenge accepted, I think. So Lou, let's go a little bit wider than this. We've spoken about careers and infrastructure and entering that construction mindset, but obviously not everybody does go into infrastructure. It's not for everyone. But how do we still give people a voice in terms of having an impact on the projects that are happening around them in the Southwest?
That is important, because obviously these young people will be using this infrastructure in the future. So maybe put that spin on it. It would be good to see some kind of youth engagement in terms of forums, maybe, or if they're allowed to sit on board meetings or planning discussions, that kind of thing. Just to have a little bit of input into what they would like to see. Their voice matters, because they are the future.
And Katie, do you think our construction project outcomes would look different if younger people were more involved at the start?
Definitely, yes. As an industry, we shy away from singing and shouting about what we're doing. That's something that we need to improve. And we need to get those young people on from the very beginning to say, you've got a project coming up in your area, have a say on it now. The flip side of that, that will throw a lot of challenges to the industry. We're going to have to think differently. It's not a bad thing. It's just something that we're going to have to overcome, that if we're going to encourage ideas from our young people who will be the users and the people benefiting from all these infrastructure projects, we need to then think, if they've shared an opinion, how are we going to fix that? And I think the industry's changed a lot over the last few years. 30 years ago, 40 years ago, you wouldn't have minded as much about the environment, you wouldn't have thought about social value, and that is a massive aspect in all the projects that are coming through now. We have to think about the sort of footprint that our projects leave, not just what is there when the site disappears, but from the very concept design right through to the construction and the finishing of that project, we need to think about what impact that project has on the community and the sort of stakeholders around it. So I think young people need to be brought in. I don't know if it's happening fully at the moment, but we need to work out how we're going to get those ideas and how we're going to implement them into what we're doing.
So Lou, climate crisis, hot topic, and rightly so. Can we use that as a point of discussion with our young people? Is that how we draw them in and get them talking about construction projects?
Absolutely. I think a good piece would be to get them to think about how things are manufactured, how things are transported, how things are actually constructed, what environmental factors you've got to take into consideration when you're taking on a project, just to get them thinking of that way about how everything that we do impacts on the environment and then obviously onto the climate, etc. So again, it's all about education and collaborating industry with the education piece to kind of get that message across.
That's brilliant. And so I suppose to sum up, all of our youngsters have got a stake in shaping our region. We know that the talent is out there, and it sounds like we've got a challenge as industry to really engage those young people and get them involved. It's been a hugely interesting discussion. Thank you so much to both my guests. To summarise, I think we've got some work to do. Joining me in the studio was Katie Farrell, Assistant Planner at Keir BAM Joint Venture based in Plymouth, and Lou Dawson-Thomas, Head of Apprenticeship Services at Excel Construction School. A huge thanks again, both Katie and Lou, and thank you for joining us on Beyond Brunel.
You've been listening to Beyond Brunel from the Southwest Infrastructure Partnership, supported by ICE Southwest. Search for us on LinkedIn, follow us on Twitter at SWIP Partnership and at ICE Southwest. Beyond Brunel is presented by Christopher Ackland, a Fresh Air Studios production.